Hallelujah. Would you lift up that name? Would you stand to your feet right now? And can we just exalt the name that's above every name? Hallelujah. That song said there is strength and healing in the name. That song says that when we speak the name, that mountains move and chains are loosed and darkness flees and has no hold on me because of the name. That song said that there is freedom and hope because we have a name that's above every other name. And then it said, I'm going to exalt that name because there is no other name that I know that is like that name. Would you do that one more time, however you want to do it? Jesus, we exalt that name. Hallelujah, there is healing in this place today. There is strength in this place today. Darkness is fleeing in this place today because the name is in this place. Chains are being loosed at the mention of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, there is hope today in Jesus' name. There is hope today in Jesus' name. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life or your family. But I've come to preach to you today that there is hope today because His name is in this place. When we look around at all the things that are going around us, we may easily lose hope, but our hope doesn't come in politics, and our hope doesn't come in culture and what's going on in this world. Our hope is founded on Jesus and Jesus alone. Are you thankful that you know Him and His name? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I thank God for His presence and His power that we feel in this place today. I don't ever want to take that for granted. As we had our Connect class last week, we asked several of our new members what they loved most about the church. And the common denominator there was a power and spirit of God that is in this place. And I am so thankful. You know why it's here? It's because we take time. We schedule time, but we take time to lift up and to magnify and to glorify His name. And when we do that, He pays attention to us. Amen, amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, has. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to preach to you on this topic. The church is alive and well. The church is alive and it is well. I believe that God is going to give revelation in this place through His Word. I believe that there are going to be callings and ministries that are going to be imparted at the end of this service. I want you right now, if you would, to lift your hands and just open yourself to God. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for Your anointing and for Your power that rests in this place. And I pray today that our hearts would be open and our spirits would be open to receive from Your Word. God, break us open and let us receive a calling and the ministry and direction that You want to give us here today. I thank You. I thank You. Would you clap your hands one more time before you're seated? Thank You, Jesus. You may be seated. The first thing that we must realize about the church is that it is God's church. It belongs to Him. Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build the Baptist church. He didn't say, I'm going to build the Catholic or the Methodist church or the Lutheran church or the Presbyterian church or even the Pentecostal church. The church that he was talking about was not a denomination or a group of denominations. But he said, I am going to build my church singular. I'm going to build a church, a body of believers that are going to be founded upon the revelation of who he is. And that is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Are you thankful for that? During Christmas time, my wife and I were with her family in Utah, and she had told me before our trip, she said, Michael, I want you to be sensitive because I want to be able to talk to my family a little bit about Jesus while we're there. So while we were there, we were sitting around on the couch. We were relaxing. We were being comfortable, and the topic came up about religion, and Kelly was trying to get them to move here. She said, I wish you guys, her sister and her brother-in-law, I wish you guys would move here. And they have a church that they go to. And she said, well, we'd have to change religions. She said, religions? Well, we're pretty much the same. And then our brother-in-law, who I don't know that has been going to that non-denominational church so long, said, well, I don't know about all that. And then he started talking about speaking in tongues. And so Kelly said, well, we do that as a confirmation of the Holy Ghost. And so what are you weirded out about, or what do you have questions about? And then he began to give us some instances on what he thought was kind of weird about it, or just things that he didn't understand. And so basically, after he gave those, we said, well, those are really good. We both said, those are some really good questions that you have. So we want to take you right here to the Word of God and show you where the speaking in tongues comes from. So we took him through the book of Acts and showed him that and explained to him the difference about the evidence of speaking in tongues as the initial gift of the Holy Ghost and then the gift of tongues and interpretation. And as we begin to talk about that, he was very intrigued and he said, well, you know, during worship time not too long ago, something came on me and I thought it was kind of that, but I was a little nervous and didn't want to let that go. And Kelly said, well, that was the power of the Holy Ghost, Jared. And if you'll just kind of let go of that, when that comes again, God's gonna fill you with the Spirit and you will speak in that heavenly language. You don't have to be scared about that. And he said, okay, he's hungry. And he said, okay, well, if that happens again, I'll do that. Well, she said, when you do that, you call us and you let us know. Well, we got a call about 2 weeks ago, FaceTime. And he said, we were at a leadership retreat with the church. Her sister is over the multimedia in the church. And he said, we were singing and all of a sudden I kind of lost the words. And all of a sudden I began to speak in a tongue that I had no idea what I was saying. He said, it was kind of strange, but I just kept going and kept speaking with other tongues as God filled him with the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, but this is the problem that I have. He said, I just don't know what I am. He said, I was raised Church of God. I go to a non-denominational church, and now I have this Pentecostal experience of speaking in other tongues. And Kelly said, well, you know what you are? You're a Christian, and you are part of the church. Jesus wasn't really referring to a separate denomination. He said, I'm going to build my church. There's a buzz. And at this time in their culture, in our text about Jesus, this miracle worker, people all over the place had their opinion and ideas of who he was. And from the disciples' words, we understand that a lot of them thought that he was a prophet. But Jesus asked his disciples that day, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter lifts up his voice and he answers the question out of Revelation and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Three parts there, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said to Christ, which is the anointed one, the Son, which is the body or the flesh. And then he said of the living God. He looks back at Jesus, the one that he's been following for the last 3 years. And he says one of the strongest oneness revelations in all of the Bible. He said, you are the anointed body of the living God. He said, you are the anointed body of the living God. And Jesus looks at him and says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven has. You didn't just get this revelation from your own wisdom. You didn't just come up with this revelation because of your own ability or thinking, but God has revealed it unto you. He said unto them, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the revelation that is the anointed body of the living God, which is Jesus Christ. He said, he is the chief cornerstone. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Today, I want to challenge your thinking a little bit on what you perceive and think of the church as. The first thing I'm going to ask you to think about, and I'm going to tell you, is that the church is not a material building. The word church is used 140 times in the New Testament, and it is never used in Scripture to refer to a material building. The language of the church in Scripture could not be applied to a building, such as the Lord added to the church, Herod vexed the church, the church was persecuted, Paul saluted the church, or the church had rest. Only in the traditions of men can people go to church. I propose to you today that this place, this building, is not the church that Jesus Christ was referring to. Why? Because this church could suffer destruction by a storm or by a tornado. It could be destroyed by fire. In fact, people have church in basements and in fields and in homes. The church isn't a building or a place built with man's hands, but rather we are the church. Acts 2 and 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He didn't add to a building. He added to a body of believers called the church. Acts 12 and 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. He didn't vex the building, he vexed the people of the church. And 12 and 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The building wasn't praying for him, but the church, the body of believers, were interceding in prayer for Peter. In man's traditions, we go to church. But God's plan for us is to be the church. I said in man's traditions, we come and we go to church. But God's intention in his word is for us, APC, it's for us, it's for every one of you to be the church. As Jesus speaks about the building of the church, he firmly proclaims that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As he uses the word prevail, he is speaking in the prophetic. He is telling us about what is about to and what is going to happen and maybe even happening. He was telling his disciples and speaking prophetically that in the church there is going to be opposition. In the church, there is going to be conflict. You are going to battle some things. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, but just because I'm building it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. Just because I'm building it doesn't mean it's going to be painless. Just because I'm building it doesn't mean you won't encounter problems. In fact, quite the opposite. You will battle and you will come up against opposition and you will have conflict. But the church will not be held hostage. I said the church will not be overcome. I said the church will not be destroyed, and we will not be drowned out, and we will not fade away. Hear me, somebody. Hell itself can attack us. Hell itself can try to make us retreat. Hell can try to get us to bow and try to give up and try to get us to quit. But I've come to serve hell. Notice today that the gates of hell, the power of hell, the strategies of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. If you believe that, would you clap your hands right now and thank Him that you're a part of this great church? Hallelujah. With that word prevail, Jesus did two things there. One, He let us know that we're going to encounter some opposition, but at the same token, He said that the gates of hell, the power and the strategies of hell are not going to overcome you. They're not going to overtake you. You're going to endure some things, but you have this confidence that you are going to be able to stand. Culture has demeaned the importance of the role of the church. Culture says that God can be anything it needs to be as long as it makes you a better person. The culture that we live in says that the Bible is a fictitious book, some human beings and that were made up by some human beings, and it is not relevant in the current culture. Our culture says that anything is acceptable. Wear what you want to wear, do what you want to do, and be who you want to be. And this is my personal view. It seems that culture is trying to push the church out. It seems like culture is trying to back the church in a corner. But I've come today to declare that culture does not get to cancel out the church. And we will not bow to culture. The church is not behind in the times, but we are aligned with the Word of God. Culture would like to say that the church is irrelevant. Culture would like to say that the church is unimportant. And more recently, culture would like to say that the church is non-essential. But culture has it wrong, because what I read in this book is the church is relevant. The church is victorious. The church is important. The church is powerful. The church is anointed. And the church is essential. I read that hell may try to destroy the church, but it shall not prevail against the church of the living God. I submit to you today that the church is alive and well. The church is alive and well. There is a church today, and there will be a church tomorrow, because Jesus Christ built this church. It's built on Him, and He will never be defeated. We were on a call this last week, some of the men in the church, and we were discussing some things and talking to another gentleman. And he informed us that because of the corona restrictions in Canada, that they're very, 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 very restrictive. Some places, 10 or less people that are able to congregate. In fact, they were knocking on doors at Christmas time. Didn't want family going over to houses and pulling people out and arresting them. And basically, they're saying that the church is non-essential. And so what we learned on that call is that the church there and certain parts of Canada are maybe forming an underground church, if you will. They're meeting in other places, in different places, because they are being shut out. He also told us that on the East Coast and the West Coast, as the restrictions are so tight and that people aren't able to gather together, that there is a form of underground church going on in our country. The East Coast and the West Coast people that are coming together because they are the church and meeting together. If the church were merely a building, we could be stopped. If the church were merely a building, we could be shut down. We could face defeat. If the church was just a building, COVID restrictions could stop us. Laws could stop us, and government could stop us. But the church that Jesus Christ built isn't a material building. It is a body of believers, and He is the chief cornerstone. Hear me, somebody. You are the church, and the church is a alive, and it is well. I'm going to say these next few statements in the nicest way possible, and I come to you humble today, and I think you know my spirit, and you know me, and you've known me long enough, but I feel something, some type of boldness in the Holy Ghost as I begin to write these notes down. I think it's time that we stop playing church. We have this beautiful building, and I am so thankful for it. And every time those doors are open, I believe that we must be in the house of God if we physically can. It is so important. In fact, I pray that we start using this building 7 days a week. We do. We're Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Sunday right now. We got 4 days covered. I love this building and this church so much, I pray that we use it 7 days a week for ministry. But it's time for the church to start being the church outside of the church walls. I'm going to say that again. Did that make sense? I'm not disrespecting this building. I love this. I'm so thankful that it's paid off and that God has blessed us with this beautiful facility. But it is time for the church to start being the church outside of the church walls. He has called us to be the church. The church ought to be open for ministry 7 days a week. I'm not talking about this building now. I'm talking about each and every one of you. We ought to be open for business every single day of the week. Hear me, somebody, I'm being nice, but if our only time to be used by God in our ministry is on Wednesday and Sunday, the purpose of the church has been lost. That was never His intention for just Wednesday and Sunday, but it's every day of the week being the hands and feet of Jesus and being the church. Hear me, somebody. COVID is no excuse for us to stop being the church outside of these walls. In fact, it's the perfect reason for us to be. We may not be able to have as many people as we want to have in this building at one set time. But I think most of us here go to the gas station. Most of us here go to the grocery store. Most of us here, the men here, get their hair cut somewhere. We go to the bank, and we're all over and all around the public. God forbid that we try to use some excuse about COVID for not being the church and meeting the people that need, that have needs. Hear me, somebody. When I walk into Schnucks, I shouldn't have to tell them, hey, you know what? I want to bring you to church on Sunday. And when you come on Sunday, you can get healed. I rebuke that kind of mentality. I'm thankful we need to bring them to church, but we need to be the church. And when we walk into Schnucks or Walmart or Sam's or wherever we're at, people will talk to you. We think that this COVID thing is, and believe me, we've lost family members, and I know it's a serious thing, but I'll tell you what, it's a really good excuse for us to fold our hands, for us to stop our mission and stop doing what God has called us to do. We can bring the power of the name of Jesus to them right where they're at. We can get a phone call. We can get a phone number and do a phone call and pray that peace and strength and deliverance and comfort and healing would take place in them and their family. It doesn't have to be in the building. We are the church. We are the church. For too long, ministry has been going on inside the church. For the church. You know me. You know me. I am so thankful. And I love hearing the word of God. I was here for Brother Peter this morning. I heard the word of God. I'm so thankful that we have all these different ministries inside the church that minister to the church. But for too long, we've had ministry going on inside the church for the church. It's time for us to take our ministry and our giftings outside of these walls and be the church that God has called us to be. 1 Corinthians 12:12, the human body has many parts, but the parts, many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, the church. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body and one spirit, and we all share the same spirit. Yes, the body has different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not part of the body, because I'm not the hand," that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye," would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you see or smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God put each part just where He wants it. I said, you are right where God wants you. We are the church and the body of Christ. I've come to proclaim today that each person, each member is vital to the church. I said that you are a vital member and part of the church. You are an important member of the body of Christ. And according to the word, the church, the body, cannot function without you. Hear me, somebody today that's been struggling with your ministry or your gifting, we need you. We need you because you are part of the body. You may feel insignificant. You may feel unworthy and unimportant. You may feel like your job in the kingdom isn't as important as somebody else's. But that is a lie from the enemy to try and hold you back from the purpose that God has for you. And I think it's time that we realize it and we don't give place to him. You are significant, and you are important, and you are vital to the church. If you're thankful for the church, would you clap your hands right now? Oh, God, we thank you for the church. I thank you for every part, for every member, for the body of Christ. If we are going to operate as the church that He has positioned us, and called us and anointed us to be, every single one of us must do our part. You were born for such a time as this. David was a shepherd and watched over his sheep. He may have had feelings of being insignificant, as his soldier brothers were out at war and he was sitting at home watching the sheep. But God knew that in that day, A giant needed to be killed, and David was the man for the job. He was born for that specific day. Think about Saul. Saul may have started out persecuting the church, but God knew there was a Gentile nation that needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's conversion that day was not an accident. Hear me today. Paul's conversion that day was not an accident. You being part of the church today is not by accident. But Paul was chosen for that day, and he was born for such a day as that. Peter may have been reckless. He may have been impatient and short-tempered, maybe outgoing and not afraid to say what he thought. But God knew that there was going to be a crowd that day on Pentecost that had questions. And Peter was going to preach to them the plan of salvation. He was born and anointed for his day. He was born and anointed to be used in his day. You can go all through the Bible. I think about Ruth and I think about Joseph. They were all born for that day. God knew what the church would be facing in 2020 and 2021, because he is omniscient. The Bible says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, that God knew each and every one of you. I don't believe this for a second. You are not alive in 2021 by accident. You have a purpose. God chose to use you and your gifting to strengthen the body called the church. You are valued and you are important and you are anointed and you have been chosen by God to be the church in 2021 and beyond. Musicians, come, would you stand with me? I often think about the confidence that God had in Job to allow the devil to take everything that meant anything from Job. He said, if you do that, he'll fall to his face and he'll curse you. And God said, I got confidence in this man. He said, I'll take the hedge up and you do what you want to do to his family, to his servants, to his livelihood, but he's not going to fall on his face and curse me. Comes back. He didn't curse him. He said, surely a man's health is the most important thing to him. He said, if you will let me touch his health, surely he will fall to his face and he will curse you. The Bible says that after God allowed that to happen to him, after God had so much confidence in Job, that he allowed those things to happen to him, that Job fell down on his face before God and he began to worship him. God has allowed and chosen you to be a part of the church and this end time. Think about this for a minute. He has so much confidence in you that you would fulfill the mission of the church, that he allowed you to be a part of the church at this day and time. And his design is not by accident, because we know that his design is perfect. COVID can't stop this church. Government's not going to stop this church. And trial and tribulation is not going to deter this church. The power of hell itself will not prevail against this church, because we are a part of a church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And no matter what comes our way, we have this confidence because of Jesus, because we're built upon him. That the waves and the wind may blow, but we're going to stay steadfast. I submit to you today that the church is alive and it is well. Would you lift your hands if you're thankful for that? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity and this time to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, for the confidence that you've had in us to let us be a part of this end time revival. Thank you, God, for your anointing and for your power. Hear me, somebody, today. The church that we're talking about is you, and God wants to use you, and God has a plan for you, and God has a ministry for you, and God has a calling for you, and God has the anointing for you, and God wants to use you. Would you lift your hands right now? Would you say, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. God, give me boldness in this end time to be the church that you've called us to be. God, use us, work in us, anoint us. We've got a couple minutes here. Would you do that, God? My answer is yes. I want to be what you've called me to be. I want to do the work outside of the church walls. Lead me to people. Put people in my way that are sensitive, that need help and need hope, and I will reach them and I will touch them.
But I can assure you that it is for you. And that call is for every last person in the room. I know sometimes we do the shovel method and say, well, that's probably for the person who's a little more outgoing to be the church or to walk into a store and pray for someone. God can use you in your giftings. And I believe God's just stirring some hearts today and calling some people that know you are the church. You are here and you're the church. You've been filled with the same spirit that the person next to you has. So you've been called by the same God and the same call. Can we lift our hands and respond to that call together? I'm going to let you respond in the way that you will. And would you just let them know, God, I'm going to do whatever you call me to do. You've given me giftings. Some time here and let that call just settle in our hearts and our spirits. There may be something specific God lays on your heart to do when you leave the place today. There's a person He may lay on your heart that's in your family or on your job. Oh God, we respond to the call. We commit today to be the church, to be your church, not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but every day in between. We want to respond to the call of God. Jesus. Jesus. feel like this call is just permeating and working its way through the body. It ought to affect every one of our days. I want to get to the point, Brother Michael, where I wake up thinking, okay, how am I going to go be the church today? Right now, I'm probably waking up thinking, I got to get this, and this done before the end of the day. Number one on my list. How am I going to be the church today? We've been positioned, and we are God's body for this hour. I've heard already individuals saying they were at a store, they were in a line, something happened, or they saw someone that needed something, and that mission came back to their mind. Okay, be the church. How does this look today? I feel like God is just letting that call settle in our spirits. Can we thank the Lord for this body and for the church, and that He's using us and calling us today? Can we thank Him together? Lord, I thank You that I get to be a part of Your body. This is not some obligation, Lord. This isn't a weight that I have to bear, but it's a privilege to be a part of Your kingdom and a part of Your body. Thank You, Lord, for Your church that is victorious. Thank You that I get to experience that victory. And I pray You'd help me to be the church and share it with every person that I can. In Jesus' name, I thank You today for Your help, for Your word. In Jesus' name. We're going to do everything we can to keep this mission ahead of us and in front of us. And also obviously takes that individual effort and determination that, yes, this is a theme, but it's my mission. I'm going to go and be the church. How can I do that today? That's my question, and I think a challenge for each of us this morning. Thank God for His word and for the call of God. You can be seated.